One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.
If you have not been listening to the latest EPP bonus episodes of Real Ghost Stories online, you don't know what you're missing.
It was so real to me. I could smell him. He was there. And I woke up and it was like he had just left.
GhostPodcast.com is where you sign up to be an EPP, extra podcast person, to get exclusive access to our once a week bonus episode of Real Ghost Stories online.
I felt heavy and freaked out. Someone was most definitely watching me.
Complete with exclusive content only for EPP members.
They thought they were mistaken. The house wasn't there. They got out of the truck and stood looking at a large, unattended hayfield.
EPP bonus video only for EPP members.
And I'm like, what kind of sign are you looking for if that's not a sign?
Sign up now at ghostpodcast.com or sign up through Patreon. The link is at ghostpodcast.com. I wanted to hear the answer to, did they find bodies underneath the building?
I did too. I was just sure she was going to say, and then they found bodies.
If you want to hear the best ghost stories we have, along with our regular funny and non-judgmental commentary, become an EPP.
This is a pond created by a giant off rock of the United States. I'm going to guess the translation there is.
Sign up now at ghostpodcast.com. It's only $5 a month, or you can sign up for an entire year. Get 1 month free out of that and a bonus bunk bed bell, so you can ring along at home. Keep Real Ghost Stories Online alive and be part of our exclusive EPP community. This is Real Ghost Stories Online, the live edition of the program. We do it once a week, 4 o'clock Central Time, on our main Facebook page, where you can call in and share your Real Ghost Stories with us live on the air. So please, if you are watching us live right now, give us a buzz. The phone line to call in live during our live broadcast only, 216-GHOST-10, 216-GHOST-10, to call in your Real Ghost Story live right now as we hear live Real Ghost Stories.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your Real Ghost Story now at 855-853-4802. Or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You are about to enter the world of the unknown, and quite possibly, the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
That indeed it is. 216-446-7810 to call in and share your Real Ghost Stories with us live. The phone lines are open right this second, if you're watching us on Facebook or on YouTube. 216-446-7810 to call in and share your Real Ghost Story with us. Right off the bat, I want to ask everyone who is tuned in and has been planning, as I do every week, if you would like a chance to win an autographed copy of the book, press share on this or share it on social media. If you're sharing it through YouTube, hashtag it Real Ghost Stories Online. And at the end of the broadcast here, I will pick someone and reach out to you directly via a direct message and get you a copy of it. So if you want in on that, please do share it. Let's other folks know that we are doing this thing live right now. And if you're watching the video of this, I even placed one in the window way back over there. It's like Where's Waldo for the book. But there you go. So welcome, everybody, to the live broadcast of Real Ghost Stories Online. See lots of folks checking in on Facebook. Louise, Sarah, Rob, Jennifer, April, Nessa, Jacqueline, Sarah, Louise, thank you so much for tuning in. My comments are working on my main screen again. It's so nice. Otherwise, I was having to like look in other parts of the room to see what people were commenting. So phone lines are open to share your real ghost stories with us right now. I would absolutely love to hear from you. That's what we do this show for, is to do a little bit different feel of it than our normal broadcast, where obviously, you know, it's written in stories or it's recorded stories. So the more of your live calls, the more fun we can make this program. So please do dial in, and we will get you on the air this afternoon. Leave your comments too, and we'll do our best to try and answer them for you here as we go through the program. I just saw a comment come up on YouTube I want to answer. Did Jenny ever get to see The Conjuring yet? I think you're referring to The Conjuring 2. She did see the first one. She said she's going to watch. Then it disappeared. Bring it back. Last Halloween. She did see the first one, at least a good chunk of it, on an airline flight once with us. But I don't believe, I know she's never seen part two of it. And I have yet to see it either. It's been kind of one of those, you're not allowed to see it in this house movies. But I would like to at some point. I'm going to have to, like I said, I said this before, I'm going to have to go into the woods with my phone and just stream it. And call it good. I'm kind of interested in seeing The Nun as well. It's essentially part of the Conjuring universe. And what do you guys think of that? Because what I really enjoyed about The Conjuring was the fact that The Conjuring was a very true story. I mean, as true to life as I think you're going to get in a Hollywood movie. But then The Annabelle came out, which was good and interesting. A little bit more, you know, a little bit, like I say, a lot more. What word am I looking for here? I guess license to get creative on a story in that one. Then the Conjuring 2, which I did not see, but I heard was good. But I also heard little literary license is what I'm trying to say with that one too. And now we're kind of getting some of these other ones mixed in here that really don't have much to do, as far as I can tell, with the original story. Am I off on that? That's kind of my understanding, that it's really getting kind of almost how Amityville got with, you know, 2, 3, 4, and it just kind of, you know, went off on the, you know, they're spooky movies, but not quite the real story. I don't know. It just seems to be kind of going down that road. If, you know, they're making money, that's the business that they're in. But I don't know. I think it loses something. Because I like the realness. I like the, you know, we're telling a real story here. That's just me anyway. Annabelle sucked, but Annabelle Creation was great. The Conjuring 2 will make you jump a few times. I didn't know there was another Annabelle. I thought there was just one. There's two Annabelles? Is it by the same people? Wow. I didn't even realize that. All right, phone lines are open, 216-446-7810, to share your real ghost story with us live as we do this thing every single Wednesday afternoon. Would love to hear from you and get your ghost story on the air. Let's go over here and hear this ghost story. Hi.
Hi, Tony. My name is Rhonda Brown. This is a story from about 7 or 8 years ago, when I was living in Beaumont, Texas. My dad, he was a dialysis patient, and he had this wonderful heating blanket that he used to use all the time because he was always cold. So, unfortunately, my dad passed away, and I inherited the heating blanket because I know he loved it. Well, soon after that, I started sleeping with this blanket. At night, I would feel something rubbing on my leg at night. And I would sit up, you know, and turn on the TV, and my husband, he would be on the other side of the bed, so it wasn't him. And this went on for like 3 weeks. And finally, I had to tell my husband, because I think he thought I was kind of losing it at that point. And I'm like, something is touching me at night. Something is rubbing on my legs. And when I told him about it, and I told my sister about it, they remembered my dad used to always scratch his leg when he was in the dialysis because he had circulation problems in the leg. So finally, I sat on the end of the bed and I said, hey, I don't know what's going on. You know, I was kind of there by myself. I said, whatever is going on and whoever's touching my leg, please stop. So I slept with the blanket for another week or two after that, and then I got rid of it, and I no longer have that problem. No more rubbing on my legs, no more touching my legs at night. I slept perfectly fine. And that's my first story. I'll call back at a later time with another story regarding the same house. Thank you. I'm not an EPP member yet, but I'm on the way to become an EPP member. Thanks, and I hope you can use my story. Bye-bye.
Thank you for calling in and sharing that story this afternoon on the show. You know, it's one of those things you kind of wonder, is it one of those things where he was giving you a sign that he was there? Is it just kind of the residual with the blanket and the fact that it had been used that way for so long and he was, you know, reaching down and rubbing his leg, you know, and itching his leg so frequently? It's a hard one to know for sure, but certainly him in one way or the other, I would certainly say. Let's go to a caller at 908. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
Hey, Tony, this is Ryan. I'm calling from Flemington, New Jersey. How are you today?
Hey, Ryan, good. Welcome to the show. You got a ghost story for us?
Yes, I do. So this is my first time ever calling in. I've been listening to the show since probably April of this year. Love you guys and would like to become an EPP at some point.
Well, we'd love to have you be one.
I wanted absolutely. My story is very brief, but this dates back to when I was a kid, probably about 8 or 9 years old. And I was sleeping in my just regular bedroom at home, and I recalled having this very vivid dream of a woman wearing a black dress, and she had these like purple flowers on this black dress. And it was just a very vivid picture of a person. And I don't remember exactly what she was doing. I know she's kind of like walking through the kitchen. And I don't know, like she just seemed very familiar. So lo and behold, I wake up the next morning and kind of describe this dream to my parents as a child. And they kind of dig a little bit deeper. My dad takes me upstairs, shows me this photo album of a woman wearing the exact same dress. This was my great-great-grandmother. Who I only ever saw her in pictures after that point, but it was just unbelievable. I couldn't believe that I saw the person who I dreamed about the night before. That was my grandmother. And apparently I'd met her when I was probably like a month old. She passed away about when I was a month old, mm-hmm. But that was 100% her. I recognized the dress verbatim.
Had you seen the pictures at all before? Were these like kind of locked away or stocked away somewhere?
Yeah. No, these were photos that I had never seen before. I didn't really start learning about my great grandparents or anyone on my dad's side until probably into my teens or so when, going over to like family meetings and stuff became more prevalent, like looking through photo albums. But I never looked at that stuff prior to that at all. So it was very, very interesting to see.
Yeah, it makes it all the more, you know, confirming and real that it wasn't, you know, because it's weird how some things can happen where when you're a small child, where it's like, oh, man, I have this memory of this or that, and it kind of replays itself later. But if you had never seen it, that's a whole different ball of stuff. What was your dad's reaction? What were your parents' reactions to this experience that you had?
No, definitely, Tony. So what I learned from my dad is that him and his grandmother, so my great-grandmother, who I saw in the dream, they had this thing where they could sit in the same room together. They could think about, you know, shapes or numbers or objects. They wouldn't have to say a word. They just kind of look at each other, and they would both come up with the same shape or object. And I didn't know about this ability that they had either until a little bit later on in life. But my dad kind of told me that she was just very, maybe you can call it sensitive, but she was very just intuitive and had these connections with other family members. So... It was it was just really interesting to learn that maybe she has some sort of outreach to other people in her family.
That is a very interesting, and it sounds like fairly then accepting of this being what it was, and there wasn't written off as, oh, it's a dream, or you know how that can happen sometimes.
Exactly. I really think there might have been something there, because my dad still brings up that story to this day. I'm in my 20s now. I'll still say, hey, remember the time someone got the dream? It's like, kind of gets me, thinking a little bit. So.
It does. It certainly does. That's a really cool story, and it's cool that you're able to have that that connection there. It kind of makes you wonder, because sometimes we have stories of people and a loved one or a relative that they'd never really known or met, and suddenly they're showing up to them either in a dream, or they're showing up in a time of crisis as like, stop, don't do this, or I'm going to help you, or this or that, with a message. And it kind of goes back to some of those things where people sometimes, I think, have almost an assignment to their next loved one or someone down the line, the next of kin or whatever it may be. Sometimes it's even not even blood related. Sometimes it's just a friend or something that is it's assigned to kind of be the watcher over, or the guardian angel, I think, is a lot of people will put it. That's probably what she is for you. Neat story. Thank you for calling and sharing that.
Of course, Tony. Thanks for having me on the show, man.
All right.
Appreciate it.
You take care. All right. Phone lines are completely open if you want to call in and share your ghost story with us. We'd absolutely love to hear it. 216-446-7810. 216-GHOST-10 to call in and share your story with us. Caller at 435. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
Hi, Tony. My name's Dano, and I'm from Utah.
Hey, let's hear your story.
Okay, I've actually shared my story on your podcast a while ago about a situation with a Ouija board, and there was a spirit or something following me, and it continued to follow me over the years after that. And I got up to a point in the conclusion of my story of what was happening last year, and the issue of that was happening is that my current girlfriend and her children were experiencing the spirit in the house that we were living in at the time. Mm-hmm. And I was kind of dealing with that and dealing with seeing figures upstairs in our living room and kitchen. And it kind of never really stopped. And now it's just kind of dormant. And it kind of never really shows itself or to me or her. It only shows itself to the child now. And we're kind of at a standstill of what to do, so we kind of just tiptoe around, not trying to cause any commotion or trying to bring it up. And mostly I'm just asking if there's anything that else we could possibly do other than to contact a priest.
I'm not in the world of giving advice on how to exorcise ghosts out of homes. So I don't really have a ton of advice in that, because I mean there's just so many things that work and don't work and all that. So I really don't have anything to say do this or don't do that. When you say you try and do things to not stir it up, what were you doing? And refresh me, because it's probably been a long time since I've heard your story. What were you doing that was stirring it up initially?
What was going on before I was even dating her? Me and my friends would dabble in the dark arts of the Ouija board, and we would go ghost hunting and try to get EVPs. Mm-hmm. And that was something that we would do here in our local cemetery and around the town. But ever since that happened, things just started happening around me, and it would like cause nightmares about her murdering me or the family just dying all of a sudden, somehow, some way. And there was always a figure in the nightmares. Mm-hmm. And then once we started seeing things here at home, she would wake up and tell me there was a girl standing next to me or in the doorway, or when I would go to work, she would have to deal with the objects flying off the, like a DVD rack or the counter and stuff like that. And that's kind of what used to happen. And now it's kind of waiting, but like a story that has very similar to everything that's in all this is her daughter one day was going to the laundry room to go get some pants because we were going to go fishing.
And what had happened is she went downstairs, and from what I know, she went downstairs and she started talking to somebody very loudly. And then I went downstairs and asked her, "Who are you talking to?" It's like, "Oh, I'm talking to the Cucuy." Cucuy in to Spanish people is a monster, kind of like the monster under the bed.
Sure.
So she kept telling me, she kept talking to the guy in there, and he's the Cucuy, and he says he wants to kill her. So that's kind of the last thing that really happened around us.
Do these things occur when you're present only? Has she ever had experiences when you're not physically at the residence?
She has experiences usually after I leave to go to work. The last time I ever had an experience at the house was we were actually talking about the issue, and then our light bulb right next to us when we were talking about it just got really bright, and then it exploded.
Yeah.
And that's happened in a few of the rooms in the house.
Because my line of questioning was trying to determine if it's, you know, when you were there, these sort of things are going to happen more, and this is something that's attached to you. I mean, if these things are happening when you're not physically even there, that leads me to think, you know, maybe, yeah, you got a hitchhiker, you brought it home, and now it's there. That seems to be kind of what it's sounding like. You know, that's up to you what your next call is. I'm taking it something like this: the average "please leave us alone" respectfully has not done anything.
Yes.
So you got something probably a bit beyond that. And this is not always the solution, but let me ask you, what are the options for moving? Sometimes that,
you know. Before, in the podcast, I had told you that we were out of money.
Mm-hmm.
That was our problem, and we tried to find something smaller, even just an apartment, to get away from it. But the problem was that it always followed me from the last house I lived to the one I am in now.
So that's not necessarily
going to
be the solution.
Whenever I'd have a girlfriend, it would show itself as a girl, a young girl, to all my ex-girlfriends, and then, believe it or not, like, they would end up breaking up with me, or they would just end up leaving.
Yeah. And so, probably rightfully so at the beginning of a relationship, if that's what you're bringing into the, you know, the relationship, like, "Hey, and I got this too, ta-da," you know?
Yeah, but here you go, that's the bonus.
Yeah. So, I mean, I feel for you. I understand where they're coming from at the same point too.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, I think it's your call. I mean, if I were you, my next move would probably be to talk to, you know, a religious leader about this that, you know, you trust that you feel is going to be helpful and see where they take it. Not to say that that's not going to make it worse, because it can, sometimes these things can get much worse before they get much better. But, you know, if this, your goal here is to get rid of it and not be, complacent with it or just tolerate it. You know, I think that's probably the steps you got to take, at least keep attempting steps, some direction to do it, without, you know, trying to make it worse. It's just, there's no real clear answer on things like this.
All right. Yeah. Thank you. That means a lot to me, just to be able to tell somebody and understand what we've been going through. And that means that's probably the main thing, is being able to talk about it outside of just her and I, so we don't think we're crazy.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes just being able to hear, you know, yourself talk about it, have other people not think you're crazy when you're telling them the story, is, you know, it's therapeutic. It doesn't fix the problem, but, you know, it may make it a little easier to kind of psychologically process and deal with. Hope that helped. Thanks for calling in.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
All right. You have a good one. Let's go over to a caller at area code 210. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
Hi, this is Yvonne. I'm in San Antonio, Texas.
Hey, Yvonne, welcome to the show.
Hi.
Hi, you got a story for us?
Actually, I had a story for you about 3 years ago about my 4-year-old daughter with a spider hand.
Okay.
There were two of them that gave me red.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure the memory's not as good as Jenny's. But anyway, I did email you back, And I wanted to inform you that she did pass away 6.5 months ago.
I'm sorry to hear that.
And me too. She's better off because that damn thing still followed, Tony. You won't believe it. It still freaking followed her.
Yeah.
So I just want to let you know that those kind of things are hard to fight off.
Yeah.
You know. So till the day she died, she was still seeing them and hearing them and stuff like that.
And plagued by it.
I took her to counseling and all that kind of stuff, Tony, but nothing worked.
Yeah. Well, our condolences, Yvonne. I'm so sorry to hear that. That's how that's part of the story ended. That's horrible and tragic. But like you said, you know, when she was plagued by that, just consistently, I understand the feeling of her, you know, being in a better place and not being constantly plagued.
Yes, and she's definitely in a better place because I did start getting into doing EVPs.
Okay.
Listening to with the spirit box. Mm-hmm. And I have been communicating with her, hopefully, because you never know kind of stuff like that. But she has direct answers for me, and she says she's in heaven and that she's doing good, and she's with my family, my mom, and she names their names and stuff like that. One thing she mentioned, which was weird, is that she's taking a class in ethics that was part of her process after her passing.
Okay.
I thought that was an unusual.
That is.
So
apparently there's classes over there. But I mean, the thing is, with half the stuff we talk about, there's no way I've been more surprised than right, you know, with what people are picking up and what we're hearing from the other side.
Yeah, but she's so clear, but it's like I said, since the first night she passed, I slept in her room, and I did a session thing, because she knew what I did, and everything, and, mm-hmm. you know, she communicates, but it comes to a point, too, where I don't want to bother her anymore, so I just tell her, you know, if she ever wants to come on, visit, and mm-hmm. go back where you're supposed to be happy, you know, we're doing okay. But it was indeed a tragic loss.
Sure.
We weren't able to beat that damn spider hand.
Well, Yvonne, thank you for updating us on your story and your situation. And again, our condolences and our thoughts, out to you. You know, lots of love. That's something I can't contemplate going through as a parent as well. So I hope you're going to be doing okay, and I hope that things, you know, start getting a bit better for you. Going forward, and you know, our thoughts are out to you for this.
I appreciate that. I am indeed doing well. I never even was able to greet because I asked her to help me, and she helped me a little too much. So, like I said, it's been over 6 months, and I'm still. It feels like she's still here, but sure. You know,
take that time
in a positive way.
You need that time. I know. You know, sometimes when we experience a loss. It's almost like, why am I not doing the grieving thing? Why is that not hitting me? Why is it, you know, and everybody grieves differently, but there is, you know, it's a healthy thing. We need to do it as a human to you know, fully process everything and to get through things. And, you know, if there's a time here where it's just like, you know what, I just gotta, you know, stop doing the spirit box or stop doing this or that and just take some time for yourself to really grieve. There's no shame in that. Nothing wrong with that. And make sure you do it because you don't want this to turn into something where you almost skip over it through distractions, if you will. And then years later, it's like there's something else wrong and you don't know what. And it ends up, you know, you come back full circle to that with some help going, it's because you didn't take the time to grieve. Make sure you do it in the right time so it can get full circle for you.
Yeah, I certainly don't want to be bothering her because she says she's in a great place. So
yeah. All right, Yvonne. Well, thanks for calling in. Really appreciate it.
You're welcome. Thank you.
All right, you take care.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Our phone number, 216-446-7810, 216-GHOST-10, to share your real ghost stories with us here on the show. Phone lines are completely open right now, so if you'd like to share with us, please do call in and we will get you on the air here this afternoon. On a lighter note, for lunch, went to a place called The Shady Taco. And I really didn't know what to expect of a place called The Shady Taco. But it turns out it was actually quite delicious. It's one of these places in the Branson area. It's kind of like naming a place questionable sushi. You're kind of like, well, I'm not quite sure if this is going to be good. But it actually was kind of fun. It was out in the a little food truck in the woods. Me and Jen had lunch, and it was kind of fun. I had to inject something a little more lighthearted after hearing Yvonne's story. It's interesting now that we've done the show for so long. You get to know people. You get to hear their stories. And it's not just a one-time thing where you get the call and then that's done. Now you get, you become, you know, part of people's lives and they become a part of yours, and you hear these different chapters. And that's what I think makes our community strong, but it's also, you know, it can be difficult, but that's life. That's part of, living and experiencing all these things as a community. And hopefully we can help each other through them. Let's go to a caller at area code 909. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
Melissa.
Let's hear your ghost story.
From California.
Okay, Melissa, let's hear your story.
Yes, I'll get right to it. So we moved into my husband's family home, and we started having issues right away. The people that lived here previously, they were renting. They showed us a picture of a man down the stairs that was completely black by the doorway. Didn't think anything of it. So a few years here and there, we've been having noises and sounds and knocking, piano playing with it completely covered, stuff like that. We had my daughter here and everything else. And when she was around 3, she was in her room and she came out screaming, terrified, like I've never seen before, shaking, screaming for me. She's never acted that way before. I finally was able to calm her down, and she said something was floating in her room. Like a feather is how she explained it. Calmed her down. Didn't think anything of it. I'm like, maybe it's imagination or she saw something. I'm not sure. So the next few nights, she kept waking up and coming into her room. I finally talked to her and asked her, okay, what's going on? Why do you keep coming in our room and sleep? She goes, something keeps waking me up. It isn't mommy. It isn't daddy. It isn't our cat, Casper. And it really freaked her out. So she stayed with us for a few times. It finally calmed down a little bit after saying a prayer in there and everything else. Then I started having very vivid nightmares, bad nightmares of my family getting hurt, stuff like that. It freaked me out. Then one night I actually woke up and there was a face right when I turned over, wide awake, a face right there. And I freaked out, tried to wake up my husband, and it was gone by then. So it kind of calmed down a little bit after that. Then a year later, it started going after my daughter more. She was having nightmares and everything else. I couldn't take it anymore. You don't mess with my daughter.
Sure.
So I went to actually a spiritual kind of place, whatever else, to do the sage and stuff like that to try to cleanse the home to see if it would help. We do have a roommate in this house. She's staying with us to get on her feet. And that's really when the activity really started picking up. and so I got the sage and they say, well, it won't stay lit if there's nothing to cleanse kind of thing. So I'm downstairs doing it. It wouldn't stay lit. So I'm going upstairs. I didn't relight or anything. It was just barely smoking. Closer I get to my daughter's room and the roommate's room, it's so incredibly smoky. You could barely see because there was just so much coming from it.
Mm-hmm.
So I go into the roommate's room. I told her what I was going to do beforehand. And she was well aware. So I knocked on the door, let her know what I was going to do. Started doing it. She started getting agitated. I might as well put it around her too, you know, just in case. And that's when I was really smoking. She got aggressive. She was agitated. So I just ended up leaving the room, finishing doing it, and then opened up the windows and hopefully clean it out. I asked her about the next day because she had to go to work, and she doesn't remember me even going into her room. It really freaked us out.
Yeah.
she doesn't remember, because she's not an angry person. She's happy-go-lucky, bubbly, everything. And for some reason, she still can't remember it to this day. But we haven't had any nightmares or any activity since we cleansed the home so far. So that's a plus.
That was going to be my next question of, you know, has this stuff calmed down? I mean, the cleansing, I'm glad that seemed to help. How long ago was it that you did the cleansing?
About a year ago now, close to. I mean, there's little things here and there, but they're really minute.
Yeah.
There hasn't been any nightmares. My daughter hasn't woken up. She hasn't had any nightmares at all either.
Mm-hmm.
It's been really calm for about last year, but I'm concerned maybe it'll come back, but hopefully not.
Well, let's hope for the best on that. I wouldn't suggest, you know, trying to stir it up or anything. You know, it's like, well, let's try this too. It's like,
yeah, exactly.
if it's calmed, it's calmed. You know, sometimes things go dormant. I'm not trying to be like, oh, Debbie Downer, but I mean, that does happen.
Yeah.
But sometimes it also just ends as well. So let's hope that your story ends with it ended, and you're just going to look back on this as a really creepy, weird experience. And, leave it at that, but do keep us updated. Should anything else happen, if you want to share it, you know, you always got a platform here to call in and talk to.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you. You have a good one. Bye-bye. All right. The phone number 216-446-7810 to share your real ghost story with us. Phone lines are open again, to get it out there. Reading some of the comments here. Renee, hello from the Philippines. Woke up early for this. Here's your shout out. I never understood like the term shout out on the radio. And I get it. You know, it's like, oh, but I always thought like, do I shout this when I'm doing a shout? Like literally just shout the name. This was back in radio days. Like, can I do a shout out? Like, okay, sure. Let's do, Laura said, I once saw a shadow person. I was living alone at the time. I had just entered my dining room, broad daylight outside. It was around 10 feet from me, and walked into my laundry room. Took me a minute to realize what it really was. I stood still for a minute thinking, are my brothers here? Then I walked over and looked, and there was no one. No way out of the room. No one other than the door I walked through. Backed away, started laughing, and I said aloud, I just saw a ghost. It was in that situation. I'd be like, right, everyone, we're moving out. You saw a ghost. That surely does sound what it sounds like. And hopefully that's just what it was. And I'm glad it didn't go any further beyond that for you. I mentioned at the beginning of the show, please do so if you're just joining us right now. Press share on whatever platform it is, or share us on social media, whatever platform that would be appreciated. Hashtag it Real Ghost Stories Online, and I'll pick somebody who shared the show to win an autographed copy of our book at the end here. Once we get off the air, I'll reach out to somebody and get you a copy. But you need to do that if you want in on that. Sharing helps other folks know that we're on the air. Without that, the algorithms only go so far. So let's jump over to a caller here at area code 608. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
Hi, my name is Monique LaFave. I'm from Monroe, Wisconsin.
Ah, you're from my old home neck of the woods area.
Yes, I'm a cheesemaker, but originally from Naples, Florida.
Okay. Well, welcome to the show. Let's hear your ghost story.
This was a couple years, quite a few years ago, before I had my plastic surgery. It was a place called the Walker House in Mineral Point. And the story was a guy named William Chaffee, or Caffey, who was a very tall, very built, he was a very large and in charge black man. This is back in the 1800s. It's an old stagecoach stop.
Okay.
Now, William Chaffee, was known for murdering and raping some women in that general area of Wisconsin, in the Mineral Point area. He was hung by a log chain the day after Halloween. Now, that place, the building, it's still haunted. It's still there, and it's being used as a restaurant. Now, the story is, if you go in a group of three, you'll never come out again. I proved that wrong. Me and two of my best friends went in there. We're up on the evil side of the building. Now, there's a good side and an evil side. We're on the evil side where the stagecoach stop is. We are just exploring, you know, random rooms. She had to use the facilities, and the guy stood out of the room, off to the side. I knew something was watching me. all of a sudden, she's in there. She heard this, and my friend, other friend heard this. I heard a black gentleman's voice call out my first name. How that happened, I don't know, but that building has every kind of paranormal activity you can think of, from residual to intelligent to demonic to poltergeist, everything. To this day, that going past that building behind the bar area, the Walker House, it gives me the willies. They say if you go outside that building on the day he was hung and you're a female, a group of ghosts will surround you and you will get hung by a log chain that very day.
And that, I'm sure, is urban legend and local lore, but the things that happened there, the stories, the haunting stuff, I'm sure, goes on with activity.
I've had poltergeists attack me in that building. My friend became possessed in front of me, and she started talking in the same black man, Williams, voice. I don't know what is wrong with the people buying that place. Their best bet, since I'm a gray witch, their best bet is to tear that building down, burn it, mix salt in the earth, and then just start anew. Because there is so much negative vibes and negative energies in that building, you can't get rid of it any other way.
Sure.
No matter if you were to do a cleansing with a shaman or a high priestess of the Wiccan faith, there's no way you can get rid of it.
Is a building used for anything right now, or is it just sitting abandoned?
Yes, sir. It is being currently used as a restaurant. It's in Mineral Point, Wisconsin.
Do they play up their ghost stories, or is it hush-hush?
No, they try to hush-hush it.
Oh, they do. Okay. So there's probably not a lot of ghost investigators and stuff out there that have been in there.
There has been investigations in that place, actually. If you go on YouTube and type in Walker House in Mineral Point, or investigation of Walker House in Mineral Point, Wisconsin, there has been investigations.
Really?
And it's the most notoriously haunted house in the whole state, in my eyes at least.
Sure.
There's others, but mind you... What's that?
It's funny because in Wisconsin, and from being there and living in many different parts of the state at different times, depending on your haunting of choice, the title always ends up being, it's the most haunted place in the state. I could tell you
I apologize. It's in my eyes, at least.
Sure.
It's got a good side, an evil side. You probably heard of it before.
You know, the name sounds familiar. I don't know a whole lot about it, but I do want to find out more. That's one of those things. You gave me a lead for the Grave Talks. It's a matter of what, who can we get to talk about it, and do they want to talk about it, especially with it being a business that, you know, is in existence. It's one thing for, you know, someone to recount a story, you know, on a show like this, and it's one of many stories. It's a whole other if I do a whole episode on it, and somebody's like, well, we don't really want to, you know, talk about that. But it certainly sounds like quite the place, and I would imagine that sometime in the coming years, someone will want to, whoever is in possession of it, will want to have that story out there.
There's only one neutral room in that whole building, and it's right before you go on the evil side. It's a little piano room.
Yeah.
And I have literally, there's no electricity coming to this building and no wires, anything, because I'm a bit of a skeptic at heart.
Sure.
If I can prove that it is done... with wires and stuff like that, because with any kind of activity like that, at least try to be skeptical about it and try to figure out, okay, is it normal reasons that this stuff is happening?
Sure.
I was in this piano room right before, on the side where the stagecoach stop is, where the evil side is. There's a piano in there, and there's these three lanterns right up above the vaulted ceiling. And if you play that piano, they'll all start swinging, and they did, one by one. There was no wires in that building. Me and three other friends were the only ones in there. Nobody had a rope or a wire.
Yeah.
Well, after that started happening, I looked on the back of the back wall. I saw the face of Lucifer himself. I am the biggest skeptic in my family. Mm-hmm. I saw it. I saw it, and it was the freakiest thing.
Not exactly what you want to have with your nachos.
No, not exactly what you want to have with your nachos or whatever.
And to put it lightly, I really would love to learn more about this place. If you know of any investigators or anything in the area that have investigated it, feel free to shoot me an email or something sometime. I'll do some research on this end, too. But that does sound like a really interesting place to try and talk about.
I don't know any investigators. No? I only know what I've seen happen.
Okay. Well, I'm going to do some research. This sounds like a really interesting lead because I would love to learn more about that place. I see Nicole Ray says maybe it's a land it's on. I know a restaurant that sits on an Indian burial ground, and it's pretty active inside and out. And we all know Wisconsin has boatloads of those where that ends up being half of the reason why something's going on. Historically, with the story that you told about the African American man who was hung,
he was a murderer. And he raped two women. William Caffey.
My question about that is confirmed stories or is this like local lore?
Yes.
Okay.
They are confirmed.
Okay, because obviously
confirmed.
Okay, yeah, and that's the thing. It's you go back into a point of time. And, the sickness of people and, using individuals as scapegoats or blaming people just to blame somebody. That's what I'm wondering is, did he actually do those things or could there be an angle of this where it's vengeful for the accusations?
The day he was hung, he was playing the death march with beer bottles on the back of a cart. They wheeled him down to in front of the building. His neck was so big and he was such a strong, imposing man. Mm-hmm. They had to hang him by a log chain.
Okay. I don't know the history. That's why I was just curious if that was,
it's fine. It's fine.
Yeah. Very interesting story. Thank you for calling in and sharing that one with us.
No problem, sir. Blessed be.
All right. You too. Have a good day. Bye-bye. All right.
Yes,
that, I think, that's probably going to wrap up our program for today. Thank you, everybody, for calling in and sharing your ghost stories with us. I saw a lot of people asking, who are probably new to the show, what is an EPP? That's an extra podcast person. That is where you go to our website at ghostpodcast.com. It's how we support this show and keep it on the air. You get access to bonus episodes of our show. We put a brand new bonus episode out every single week for our EPPs. This coming week, episode 210. If you're watching this live, by the time this is aired as a podcast, it'll probably be up to like 212 or so. Anyway, you get a brand new one every single week and advanced episodes of the show. So as we make the episodes, you get access to them weeks before they go public. That's a brand new thing. I just added it last week at ghostpodcast.com and on our Patreon site. $5 a month is all it is to support this show and keep it on the air. Collectively, everybody supporting it allows us to do this thing at the level at which we do it. So thank you guys so much for all of that support. We could not do this show without you. Check it out at ghostpodcast.com and please help to keep us on the air. So that is going to wrap up Real Ghost Stories Online for today. Thank you guys for tuning in and being a part of the show. Until next time, I'm Tony Bruschi. Thanks for watching.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org. One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets tickets now at cosi.org. One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Cosi. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Cosi starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at cosi.org.